Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi Podcast, and I am 30 years old and going on my first diet. Body image is something that can be quite sensitive. If food is a touchy subject for you, I normally don't make disclaimers on my show, but if this is going to make you feel worse, that's not my goal. I want to open a discussion, and if you think that this is something that will leave you feeling not so good, I don't want you to listen. So there's plenty of other episodes that you can listen to. And if you're curious about this little food health journey that I'm embarking on, stay around. So my first diet, I got so lucky to be a late bloomer. I was not thinking about my body until I was probably 17 years old. I remember gaining weight for the first time ever in my junior year of high school. And that's because I had quit sports and I had mono and I was depressed, slightly suicidal. It was all just a big jumbled up stew of understandable potential weight gain. But prior to that, I'd always been an underdeveloped kind of lanky kid. My biggest body insecurities growing up were having a flat chest. And I recently was talking with someone and she had said that she developed an eating disorder when she was 6 years old. And hearing that gave me such gratitude for making it so many years, my entire childhood and most of my adolescence, without ever having thought about my body. And I have little slight comments, you know, that junior year of high school, like my grandma told me, oh, you're looking a little round. Or I was going out to Chick-fil-A with some friends and my mom said, are you sure you want to do that? But like those comments, I had never heard prior. So it didn't develop too deeply in my psyche. It really wasn't until I turned 18, I moved out on my own and I had learned about animal agriculture and methane gas and the climate effects of the meat industry. And I had moved to LA, I learned about the drought and I thought I single-handedly can fix this. Yes. You vote with your actions, and therefore I want to help the world. I want to save the drought. I'm going to follow Freely the Banana Girl on YouTube, who not only is helping the planet, but helping the planet while rocking a six-pack. That is my role model now. I'm listening to her unabandedly. And that did horrible things for my body. My mom and her brother were both type 1 diabetics. I have pre-diabetic tendencies, or my body is predispositioned for it, I suppose. I'm talking the level of type 1 diabetes, failing kidneys, failing pancreas. My mom had to get new organs when I was a teenager. She was in surgery. We didn't know if she was going to make it. It wasn't until after she got out and she was healthy that my family revealed to me that they weren't sure my mom was going to be healthy enough to make it through my high school graduation. That's when I realized the severity, because I don't know, you think of diabetes and maybe if you're my age, you think of Nick Jonas, or maybe you think of, oh, if I eat too many Snickers bars, I'm going to get that. So to go on a vegan diet when you don't really know how to cook for yourself, and the vegan diet that I was following was raw till 4 mostly, and it was high carb, low fat. And carbs are specifically challenging for my body, you know? And that's where I Joe Dispenza this, and I thought, well, that's not my story. My story is that as long as I eat it feeling the love, it's not going to harm my body. It can't hurt me. I'm in the right headspace. And I believe that with my full chest, my full body. And I developed probably the closest thing I've ever had to disordered eating without really knowing it. You know, hindsight's 20/20. I look back and I'm like, oh girl, I know you thought you were helping the planet, but it was messing up your organs. And this was at the height of the YouTube vegan community. And I was petrified to reveal that I had stopped following this lifestyle because it was ingrained in more than just your health. It wasn't just I'm doing this to get a six pack. That was an added bonus. It was I'm doing this for the environment. So how could you make the disconnect? It was just, I felt sick. I felt like I was on the verge of throwing up all the time because it all just made me feel sick. And what reminded me of this, which is how we are here today, is I went on a birthday trip 2 weeks ago and I was eating ample amounts of sugar, so much sugar. Now, when I was on this raw till 4, which meant you would eat raw foods until 4 p.m. and then you could have a cooked meal for dinner, I was having, I'm not kidding, it's going to sound ridiculous unless you were in it, but I was having 10 banana smoothies with a handful of Moon Jewel dates and coconut water. And that was called Daterade. And it was your morning fuel. It was unbelievable. Remind you, I'm the daughter of a type 1 diabetic who suffered from it pretty severely. I have the same DNA as her. And I remember doctors telling me, like, I just don't think that this is the diet for you. And I really thought, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't. So even though I wasn't having bananas and dates and fruit, I was having just red 40 type sugar on my birthday, bakery items, cakes, cupcakes, chocolate chip cookies. I had a ton of sweets my birthday weekend and I felt really sick. And every time I have sugar, like when I have candy, I thought yes, I hear myself. Like obviously these are sweet foods, but I somehow feel like I feel sicker than the average person. But because the story I told myself is I'm eating this from a place of love, this can't harm me because my body is relaxed when I'm eating it. You know, my system is not stressed. I felt so sick. And I remember telling my friend who, I don't know how her genetics have allowed her to do this, but she genuinely lives off of Trader Joe's bag salads and chocolate chip cookies. Like, that's breakfast for her, you know? And she would always make me chocolate chip cookies every time she came over, and that she's a cookie witch. Like she knows how to make a cookie. There's no one I've ever met that has such a close tie relationship to a chocolate chip cookie than this woman. But every time she would make it, she would feel super, you know, that's her diet, and I would feel sick. And yes, I understand there's a lot of us that would feel sick, but I don't know how to explain it. Just my spiritual beliefs are so strong that I fully thought this is fine. But I kind of hit a breaking point after my birthday where I had far more than a regular amount of sweets, just because it's that time of the year. It's kind of like, of course you're going to feel a little bit of a tummy ache maybe on Halloween or Christmas because you're having more sweets than usual. But this was hitting at a point where I thought, all right, I'm curious, because my whole diet for as long as I can remember has always been nothing off limits. Moderation is key. That's going to be how you feel good. And it felt like even with moderation, there were certain things that were still bothering me. And I don't know if that's a side effect of getting older, so your body can't handle it as much as it used to. But one of my friends is becoming a nutritionist. He's opening up a wellness spa and he's looking for clients to help get fit. And this is the first time I've ever actively tried to follow a structure. I'm not counting calories or anything, but I am eating a smaller or limited groups of food that I haven't in the past. And I can't lie, it's been like only a few days and I'm already feeling so much better. And you would think it'd be the placebo effect, but I've been using the placebo effect on my diet forever, you know? And I hate to admit that I feel better, because this is contradictory to one of my core beliefs that everything in moderation is fine. And maybe that's true for a lot of people, but I'm learning that it might not be true for me. And that has been not a hard pill to swallow, but it's a pill that I'm swallowing. So I'm like, no, it's true. However you think, as long as you're in it. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but a lot of times thinking that way works, you know, oh, but my body's relaxed, so I can process this cupcake. But I don't know, there's a little bit of anatomy and biology in it. And now here I am. And I sort of want to document the journey, but I'm feeling a bit conflicted about it, because there is such a narrative over the rise of getting unbelievably skinny. And I love, you know, I love feeling skinny. That's not something I'm above at all. I love feeling how I want to feel in my body. What am I doing? I'm literally just eating more eggs and meat and vegetables. I'm eating less carbs, and I feel that the diet that I'm following, or even the fact that I'm following a diet, feels off-brand. And I'm having a hard time with that, because I feel better and I am enjoying it. And I want to promote feeling good, but I don't want to promote eating disorders. I don't want to promote diets, but I do want to promote realizing that you might be wrong and you might need to adjust. And this could apply to so many things in life. You might think that the way that you're handling your finances is working, and then you might get a piece of advice and think, wow, that's counter that counters my existing habits, but this might be better. Or I've even been thinking about this in terms of things. When I was a little girl, you could not find a limit for the amount of things I wanted. I wanted everything. I wanted to buy it. I wanted it given to me. If there was a freebie, I'd want it. And then I'd consider going back and asking if I could have a second. I wanted everything. If I bought a lip gloss, I would want to keep not just the lip gloss, but the package that the lip gloss came in and the bag that the lip gloss package came in. And I would want to display it. I would want to say, here's my Juicy Couture bag. Here's my Sephora bag, my MAC bag. Here are all my shoes. Here are all my shoe boxes. Here are all my purses. And here are all the desk bags. Now, get it away from me. Get it away from me. I don't want to see it. It's cluttering my mind. If I see something given away as a freebie, no, sorry. I have enough. I have too much. I have more than I want. I want to be mobile. And to be mobile, you can't have the burden of things. You want to have things that support your lifestyle, things that bring you joy, things that are being used, or things that are serving their purpose. But, oh my God, I did a huge purge of items. I held on to a lot of things. I mean, I can't lie. Having been on the internet, starting as a beauty guru and working my way through just different categories into the lifestyle category, whatever it is, I have received a ton of PR in my life. And the thing is, brands, not all brands treat their PR the same. Sometimes they really do just send you packages of junk, you know, where you have keychains and coasters and t-shirts and sweatshirts, and you start to feel like, I started to feel like at least, a sorting facility, where instead of feeling like, oh my God, I'm getting presents, it's like, oh my God, what do I do with 25 foundations? I just got one of every shade, and please, everyone, come grab your shades. And then, you know, people get their shades and I still have 12 left. And I'm like, do you want your summer shade? Do you want your winter shade? And then they sit in a box in my closet, hoping there's going to come a day where I find the right person to have it. And it also sucks because if you want to donate it, but you've already sampled it, you can't do that anymore from a sanitary perspective. Whereas clothes and, you know, a lot of other things are a bit more lenient, but I mean, you can't just give someone a lip gloss that you put on and decided I don't like that color unless it's someone you know personally. And I did a huge purge. I posted on my close friends. I said, come get it. Get your pick of the litter. I need this out by the end of the day. And I had 8 or 9 people swing by. I love LA, where people just come by on a Tuesday morning and you're like, yes. And everyone staggered. One of friends said, oh, I know this makeup artist. I'm going to call her, have her come over. And she's new. She doesn't have a huge collection yet. And it felt great to give her a ton of things that will actually be used. And then at that point, when I saw people grabbing PR products and those things, I just started cleaning out my kitchen. I'm like, I don't need these bowls. I bought these bowls when I first moved here because our moving truck hadn't arrived and we needed bowls to eat our food out of. Oh, I don't need this pitcher anymore. Oh, I have too many flower vases. Let me put this one out. I stopped using this printer. I should give this printer away. And it felt so good. It felt so good. And then my friend at the dog park has been selling things on Facebook Marketplace. So I thought, okay, let me start looking through what I have and maybe I can sell something on Facebook Marketplace. It is so easy. Like the first time it was a nurse from Cedars-Sinai. The second time it was a mom in a BMW. The third time it was a guy that I would literally hang out with so easily. And the fourth time, same thing. It was like a grandma. And I'm like, wow, all of you are so normal. I've been thinking that this is going to be a complicated process. It's so easy. I'll bring something to the dog park. I'll have them meet me there. So I'm just clearing things out. And in terms of food, I almost feel like the nothing's off limits is giving me a bit of decision fatigue. And I was explaining this to my friend who's coaching me through this. And nothing that he's saying is too drastic. Like, he's a little intense, which is kind of his style, but I kind of like it. It really does feel like a coach. I like when a coach coaches hard. I was telling him I really just want easy meal ideas that I can eat on repeat so it can eliminate decision fatigue. I mean, I like going to Cleo for that because there's one place that I always go and I always get this lunch and then I'm going to eat it until I'm sick of it. But sometimes at my home, I don't know. I can normally eat the same breakfast over and over again, but lunches and dinners trip me up. And I think it's because I'm such a foodie and I love to have a restaurant experience. And I also have to realize that I'm totally fine just having ground meat and some vegetables in a bowl without plating it beautifully, and still I'll feel good. Because I used to think I needed to, I've listened to too many things. And my brain got a little clogged because I thought my plate needs to look pretty for it to digest well. Or I probably sound like the biggest dunce in the planet in this episode. I just think that this is a side effect of being a girl in media. We're always being told what to eat, how to eat, what's good for us, what's not good for us. And I wanted to reject the media at large. I wanted to reject all of the noise. I wanted to just say, I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want, and I'm fine. I'm learning that maybe some guidelines are helpful for my mental sanity, where I think, oh, these are easy ingredients, where almost eating like a gym bro for just like a quick second, a little bit, just to eliminate decision fatigue. And then when I go out to eat, it's like, well, what's going to taste good? What's going to be beautiful? But at least when I get home, I don't have to think, what's going to taste good? What's going to be beautiful? It's going to be like, okay, let's chop up this zucchini. Let's chop up these mushrooms. Let's saute them, add our seasonings, throw in some meat, whatever. Like, just start cooking really simply. I just wish I could be the cool girl, you know? Like, I don't think dieting is cool. I don't think having to think about what you're eating is cool. That's my whole stick. Like, my ego wants to be able to be above it, to be like, yeah, that's fine. I would love to have a croissant first thing in the morning and just like sip on it with a coffee. But unfortunately, my body is not the biggest fan of it. And I'm almost doing myself a disservice by trying to look effortless as opposed to putting a little bit of effort in and feeling the desired results and ultimately looking the desired results. I'm pretty confident in my body. I'm pretty confident in my looks, but I started to feel physically, not physically aesthetically, but physically like, oh, I like don't feel so good. I think I need to change my habits because clearly what I'm doing is not working. And then when I increase the sugar just for a day, I'm like, yeah, there's some obvious symptoms that I could pay attention to. It just doesn't align with my self-identity. So this is a learning process. So if you're like me and you're like, I'm not getting the beer to look cool, I'm getting the beer because that's what I want. I think it's cool that I'm ordering what I want, but like maybe I should just get the tequila soda or the vodka soda right now. This is not forever. I'm just going to try this out for a few weeks. I'm going to get through maybe like 3 weeks a month, reevaluate then, see what's working in all the ways. But that's what's been on my mind. I have a few other things on my mind that I want to get into on the Patreon. Every single episode has an ad-free extended version on the Patreon. And I feel like I want to continue discussing. Am I ready to discuss this? I'm just having some qualms in friendship. And that's not something I deal with frequently. I feel really strong in my friendships. I feel strong not only in making friends, but the type of people that I make friends with. It's always been pretty effortless to me, making friends, keeping friends, that whole thing. But I'm starting to have a look at what I'm doing, who I'm hanging out with, and just reevaluating that, because I'm kind of reevaluating everything right now. That's sort of the stage I'm in. I'm reevaluating the items I have. I'm reevaluating the food I'm putting my body. I'm reevaluating how I'm spending my time. And I'm reevaluating who I'm spending my time with and what impact they're having on me, because we are so easily impacted by our surroundings. And I used to think I was the exception, but I'm no exception. I'm no exception in all of these categories. I need to maybe try something different. And that is the essence of what's happening. So this is sort of the beginning of it. Am I going to discuss what I'm talking about on Patreon? Maybe. I don't know. But first, let's get into the Q&A portion of this episode, where I ask on Instagram for questions and see what you guys have to say. But first, a word from today's sponsors. All right, my readers, I know you are always looking for a new book recommendation from me. And let me tell you, if you're in the mood for a spicy, sexy, dangerous, morally gray beach read, might I recommend Behind Closed Doors, a book by Shane Rose. When a young woman's life is suddenly put at risk, she's taken in by this brooding billionaire single dad and offered a job that she can't refuse, a live-in nanny. But this home isn't just luxurious, it's this ultra-wealthy gated enclave. And there are secrets, and there is danger, and there are facades. He's protective, he's possessive, completely off-limits, of course. We need a little yearning. And the closer she gets to him, the more she realizes that his world is far more dangerous than she could have ever imagined. Tension, stakes are high. So if you're craving a dark, can't-look-away love story, add Behind Closed Doors to your TBR. Oh, I like this question. Sarah asked, when you want a big change, parentheses, move, new job, etc., but you can't do it yet, what do you do instead? I'm in this place too where I want something new. I want a big change. I want to move. I'm looking at apartments. I'm looking at houses. I'm looking at other cities. I don't think I'll leave LA yet, but at some point I probably will. And what to do instead? Changing up the daily routine. So making where you are feel new. If you have a regular grocery store that you go to, maybe go to a different one. If you have a regular coffee shop that you work at, maybe go to a different one. If there are acquaintances or people that you've been curious about hanging out with, make a plan to hang out with them. Try a new workout studio. Just even rearrange your room. That's something I do frequently. There's probably a few times a year. Oh my God, I was talking about this with my friends recently where someone was saying, oh, I'm useless when I'm high. And I'm like, oh my God, when I'm high, I want to chat your ear off and start rearranging the furniture. And it was so funny because John and Tyra, who are two friends of mine that I have lived with, they both were like, that's her. One thing about living with Lexi is like, she's going to want to move the furniture around. She's going to want to rearrange her room. And especially if I'm high. Oh, yep. Let's get it going. Help me lift my bed. They're like, what? Right now? It's like 10:30 p.m. I'm like, exactly. It's not even that late. So trying that and journaling and trying to get to the root of what this change you're looking for is and why. Also getting creative, channeling this energy into writing, into song, into dance, into a picture, into anything, you know? That would be my advice. At least that's the advice that I'm following right now. Natalie asked, would I recommend doing the 10 dates in 30 days challenge? Well, for those that aren't sure what that is, Kenzie Elizabeth was challenged by one of her friends a while ago to go on 10 dates in 30 days as a way to restart that dating muscle, kick it up a notch. And so I did that in January, and they don't need to be 10 first dates, just 10 dates. For example, one of the guys I went out with maybe 4 or 5 times of those 10, we went out more than that after, but he probably counted for 4 or 5 of the 10. Would I recommend it? I don't want to say no, but I don't know if it really did anything for me. I learned a little, but I don't think I learned a lot. And it worked out for Kenzie Elizabeth because she found her man. You know, she's in a full-on committed, serious relationship now. What did I find? Nothing. Nothing. I liked people enough, but I didn't fall in love. I didn't find someone I'm going to move into this next stage of my life with. But if you're curious, I think that's reason enough to do it. Ugh. Camilla asked, how to handle online spotlight, people misunderstanding you, mean comments, etc. Online spotlight is tricky because you don't know which piece of content, which video, which photo is going to get the spotlight. I have a TikTok that I posted at random 2 years ago that's currently getting a ton of views, and I'm watching it back and I'm like, well, goddamn, like, this is what I get known for. This is so mediocre and kind of annoying. This is This is something I made flippantly, which is the risk you take when putting yourself out there, that something might get buzz that maybe isn't worthy of buzz. And then being misunderstood is one of the worst feelings in the world. I hate when people in my real life misunderstand me. I hate even just yesterday I had made a joke, but I feel like sometimes the way that I make a joke is in the voice of someone who doesn't understand, and I play like the dumb girl card as a way of making a joke. And someone's like, oh, it's a good thing you're pretty. And I was like, damn, ouch, because whatever. And I wanted to explain myself so badly, but I just smiled and laughed. So I hate being misunderstood. And I actually have not one but two friends now that have gone through pretty major cancellations. And it's traumatizing. It's absolutely traumatizing, because there might be something that was said in the past that isn't a good look, but maybe not worth career ending. And then the dogpiling begins, where someone says something or someone finds something, and then someone finds something else, and then someone finds something else, and then people just start spreading rumors. One friend was like, yeah, there was a rumor going around that I made this girl kill herself, and that I have no idea. Like, that's literally out of thin air, whereas some of the other things were based sort of in reality, but they just get so carried away. And people start hiding. And unless you're someone who has strong enough skin or can play it back or lean into it to use it as polarizing loyalty, you know, I feel like Trisha Paytas did that. Tana Mojo did that. People that have been quote unquote canceled so many times that you either ride for them or you don't. But if you're dealing with it for the first time, which you're not even talking about cancellation, you're just talking about media spotlight, it's tricky, but you kind of just stop looking at it. Anytime I've had something really go off on the internet, I eventually just stop looking at the comments because they're overwhelming, and I just start looking forward. Wow, we have a couple questions about comparison, which, as a reminder, comparison is, say it with me, the thief of joy. So one question's from Anouk asking, do you compare yourself with others career-wise? If so, how do you deal with it? Maddie asked, how to not compare your life timeline with other people's? P.S. Love your pod. And you. Thank you. Let's answer the career one first. Of course, I have really successful friends with really beautiful, larger-than-life careers. However, if that was supposed to happen to me, I believe it would have happened. You can't pick and choose things. And would I want to switch lives with them holistically? No, never. I've yet to meet someone that I would actually rather trade lives with and have the human experience in their skin as opposed to mine. And when I start getting jealous or comparing myself to others, that is a really good thing to keep in mind. Also, can you hear the birds? I have my deck door open and I'm pretty far away from my deck door, but I can hear the birds chirping quite loudly and I could shut the door, but isn't that just beautiful? Listening to this while the birds are singing. And then how to not compare your life timeline to other people's. I've always wanted a long life. My grandpa and I, we were like, we're going to live till we're 100. He didn't make it, hoping I do. And didn't mean it as bleak as it came out. I swear I meant it like casually. And just honestly, I meant it factually, not casually. Anyway, I want to have peaks and valleys throughout the entire life. I don't want to peak in high school, peak in my 20s. I want to have little peaks throughout the entire experience. I had really fun parts of my childhood. I had really fun parts of my adolescence. I had really fun parts of my 20s. So I want to continue to having really fun times in my 30s and my 40s and my 50s and my 60s and my 70s and my 80s and my 90s and my hundreds if I make it. You know, maybe I'll get into modeling in my 70s and I'll be that woman that is advertising being ageless or something. Or maybe I'll get into acting in my 50s and I'll start playing mothers. Or maybe I'll get into acting in my 80s and I'll play grandma. I don't know. I have dreams. So I don't want to compare my life timeline because life is long and there are so many options. I mean, I never forget going to this speech and Norma Kamali was mentioning that she found the love of her life in her 60s. It's like, how fun is that? There are so many people out here. They're like, oh, you turn 30 and then you die. Or even earlier, like they'll settle down in their 20s and think, all right, like now I've settled. Now I'm going to do this. I've been alive 20 years. And for the next 50 to 80, I'm going to kind of be here doing the same thing. Spice it up. Keep it fun. Keep it zesty. Rachel wants to know 3 dream dinner guests. Barack Obama, Dolly Parton, Larry David. Mady Armstrong asks for comfortable everyday boot and ballet flat recs. I have these Donald Pliner boots that I absolutely adore. Very comfortable. If you're in LA, we have a bunch of them at Clio right now. Ballet flats? They're not flats, but they're ballet style shoes. I have the Repettos. But honestly, they're very cute and I wear them a lot, but they're not incredibly made, if I'm being honest. I love a Repetto and I hate to say that, but it's true. I had similar shoes and they didn't keep up. They didn't hold up. They were from Franco Sarto. But I will say, I've been told more than once that no one goes to the shoe repair more than me. And that's because I walk and I don't just walk in sneakers. I'll walk in any shoe. I will walk 85 blocks in a kitten heel without batting an eyelash. So I was really inspired. But when that girl on TikTok, I hate that I have so many likes and I don't know how I'd ever go back and find her. But she was doing 10K step challenges and reviewing shoes where she would actually walk a lot in them and report how her feet felt. But ballet flats, I've had some from Free People that I liked. I would check out those. Carolina wants to know my current favorite hyperfixation meal or food. There is this cheese, this like pepper covered cheese from Trader Joe's. Let me look it up. Pepper covered cheese, Trader Joe's. The Toscano cheese with black pepper. Mm-hmm. It's a hard cheese. I'd first had it. Oh my God, I really have had these weird sugar flare-ups if I'm really thinking about it, where I'll eat sugar and I won't even have that much of it. If I have a lot of it, obviously I'm going to feel sick. That was what I was trying to make the point of at the beginning. I will just have a little bit and I'll feel really sick. And it feels like it hits me quicker. But anyway, I had first discovered this cheese on bread, toasted, and then I just started having it with crackers, and then I started shaving it on top of my meals. So for example, I just like roasted a bunch of vegetables and cooked up some ground chicken, and then I shaved this cheese on top with salt and pepper, and it was pretty delicious. So I would go and have that. Noelle asked how to manage self-pressure and high expectations. A lot of us are our own worst critic, and a lot of us have really high expectations. I have incredibly high expectations for myself. And I'm told that pretty frequently, like, oh, you take such good care of yourself. You're so self-sufficient. You're so independent, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking about this actually on my way to the dentist this morning about when people ask me, how are you single? Like, what do you mean how? What? But my first response is, I don't know. But then behind that, I wonder if it's the high I get from self-sufficiency. For example, I was backing out of my driveway and there's an automatic gate in my apartment building and it was broken. And I didn't have much time to waste. I would have been late if I called an Uber and waited 7 to 8 minutes for them to pick me up. I needed to go and I needed to go now. And the gate's broken before, but never while my car is inside of it. It's normally I'm trying to pull in and it won't open. So I got out of my car in my little kitten heels and I lifted that gate like I was the Hulk and realigned it. And the high I felt, I didn't even have to listen to music on the way to work. I just headed there feeling on top of the world. And that's because I got the high of doing it myself. I was like, wow, you did that. You did that. And I'm also someone that really, really appreciates acts of service. But to give me an act of service, you have to beat me to it. You know, you have to catch me in a moment where I wasn't doing the dishes or I didn't take out the trash already or my room isn't clean. So if someone were to come and do the dishes, clean my room, fix my oil or get my oil changed, that would mean so much to me because not only do I not have to do it, but you beat me to it. And that is really good. Like to get a helping hand faster than I help myself because I help myself pretty quickly. So high expectations, because I think I maybe went off on a bit of a tangent. how to manage self-pressure and high expectations. I manage self-pressure by rising to the occasion and then understanding that I can rise to the occasion when I'm there for it, and then to allow myself to rest in a season in which I need it, because inevitably there are going to be seasons where I can't do as much, where I'm feeling a little weaker, where I need to be more tender onto myself. And it's to remind yourself that you need to have the expectations to understand that if you're going to parent yourself, if you're going to raise yourself, that you need to be able to be gentle on yourself, and that's just as important as pushing yourself. It's unhealthy and it's not wise to put so much pressure on yourself that you kill yourself, metaphorically. So to keep your expectations high, you need to take good care of yourself. And so that's part of it. And you need to do it from, does that make sense what I'm saying? And I also saw a good piece of advice from a friend recently where he said, if you're getting burnt out from saying, I don't want to, but I should, you know, I don't want to go to the gym, but I should. And you push yourself. I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. To switch it into not, I don't want to switch it to, I told myself I was going to do this, so I'm going to listen to myself. I told myself I would go to the gym today, so I'm going to listen to myself and I'm going to do it because I told myself I would. Not, I don't want to. I told myself I would, and I want to prove to myself that I will. A little quick, sweet episode. I have more to say, but I wanted to at least touch on this for now and then save more for next time. And then for my patrons, if you're curious about the extended episode talking about jealousy, insecurity, friendship, reevaluation, growing apart, but then maybe feeling like it's not mutual, that would be on the Patreon. And I will have that link down below if you're not already listening to it. For everyone else, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you here very soon. I'm also on Instagram and I post vlogs on YouTube if you want to hear them. I love you all so much. Thanks for listening. Okay, XOXO, Lexi.